You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi there, welcome to This Side Brox. It's your women's podcast for January. My name's Scott Patterson. If you're joining us across our audio channels to check out what we're going to speak about today, then we absolutely appreciate lots to discuss and lots to catch up on since we were last in touch. January, big month, knocking Celtic out of the Sky Sports League Cup. We continue to see an enhancement of Rachel Rowe's influence on games for the women's team. Some players coming in, some players going out, and we look ahead to February, which is promising to be a really, really big month for the women's team. Joining me to discuss it all, as usual, is Claire Gemmell. Hi, Claire, how are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
Yes, not bad. We were speaking before we hit record there. January's a bit of a miserable month, isn't it? It's horrible.
Oh, kind of what is it? For me, I'm not really a winter person at all, so I actually can't wait for the spring to come. But the football being back's helped, to be honest.
Yes, absolutely. It's been genuinely quite cold and miserable, and the wind. God, I don't even go there. Listen, January's been a huge month, Claire. We know that we're going to speak predominantly about the Celtic win in the middle of the month, which is really important. We'll do a little bit about the recent Aberdeen game that's passed. We did start off the month really positively with two thumping wins. 12 goals up at Inverness in the Scottish Cup and 10 at home to Dundee United, who of course come calling this coming Sunday the 4th. Good start to the month, goals right across the squad as well. In particular, we speak about her often when you and I get together. Jane Ross, good to see her back and into that sort of goal scoring form that we love so much.
No, definitely. I mean, it's probably good games for Rangers to come back from the winter break from. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's just obviously they're expected to win the game against Inverness. They're expected to win the game against Dundee United. And they have done that convincingly with both games. And it's for the fact to, you know, Jane Ross and stuff, it gives her the confidence then when she's coming into these games and she's managing to get multiple goals under her belt. So it's only going to lead to confidence once she's going into kind of more, the more crucial games, we'll call it, as the season progresses. So, no, it's been a very convincing start from them. And to be fair, you know, they've just started exactly how they finished.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the game against Dundee United, where I think that was the game she scored five in, I'm sure. Every one of their goals as well, which I particularly like to see from a Rangers striker at any level, by the way, is your striker getting in the right places, scoring striker goals. I don't want to say tap-ins. That sounds really facetious, but goals that you would largely expect your number nine or your leading front person to score. So really good to have Jane back. I think it's important for whatever happens next between now and May. And as you say, we have been such a big player in and around the dressing room. I think it'll be important to have her around and have her fit and maintaining just that availability, really important. So listen, we'll go straight to Airdrie. And it, I have to say, it's probably one of the few times I've had that it's been a really nice night in Airdrie, but it was quite a spectacular night, wasn't it? That 5-goal second half was something else, was it not?
It was. I mean, it was unreal, really. I think, particularly for the neutral, you know, it was some game, wasn't it? I don't think fans of either Celtic or Rangers would have probably enjoyed it that much because, but I tell you something, you know, I had my eyes covered a few times, like, couldn't really cope. But in all honesty, you know, I felt as if they deserved the win. You know, how they actually weren't leading in the first half, I'll never know. And I think if they look back at the game, and actually even at half time, you know, I think that's something Joe Potter probably said to them, is the amount they were actually creating, but they're just trying to get the final finish on the ball. You know, they're maybe snatched at it, hitting it wide. Just, you know, it just wasn't falling for them, but they were in top. And then it's typical, isn't it? It comes out and then it goes against you. But do you know what? It's the character, isn't it, to then come back into the game. And I'm getting the penalty in the last couple of minutes. You know, I was in no doubt, to be honest, that she was going to score it because I think she's more than capable. These pressure moments, I think that's the type of player she is. And, you know, I honestly had 100% confidence she was going to score that goal.
It was really interesting to hear Joe speak post-match about attitude, their general fitness as well, which I think is a big thing that we're seeing in the squad this season. But she's used the word mentality quite a lot since they've came out of the break. She used it a lot at the weekend there prior to kick-off at the Balmoral Stadium up the road. And almost the mentality sort of switch of going from, yep, we're in a final, job's not nearly done yet, we have to come back down to earth and take care of league business. It's really important. I really like the cut of her jib in the sense that she has been able to switch off from the elation, if you like, for knocking Celtic out and getting to a cup final, real chance to win a trophy, to the reality of it's back to the bread and butter this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. But then that's what being a professional is. You can't get carried away, you know. Although Rangers find themselves in the final, they don't have their hands on the silverware yet. So the job isn't done, as you said. And it is about being able to switch off and then get back to focus. Ultimately, for me, the league's the most important thing. And I think if you asked many players, they would agree with that. Obviously, you want to win a cup. I'm not taking away from that. You absolutely do. But the league is the most important thing. And just the way this league's going at the minute, you know, you cannot afford to slack off and slip up. Given that there's 6 points ahead, that could easily change, you know, in a matter of games. I know you're going to touch on it later, but they've got Hearts coming up and they've got Celtic. You know, if you're not getting results in those games, that leads away. So from that perspective, you absolutely cannot afford to switch off. And I think I would say in this squad has been the best squad in terms of being able to have the right mentality going into games. I think they're excellent.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you. I just, the having that, as I say, that ability to almost switch off, that just change your mindset, go from that incredible high, if you like, from getting to the final, celebrating with the fans, to then just sort of tone it down a little bit, coming straight back down to earth and being aware of what has to happen next is really impressive. And I think it's a flavour that she's managed to get right through the squad. I think everyone's buying into that, which is really, really important. I do want to speak to you about Cathy Hill, who I was really pleased for that night. At the Excelsior, obviously she was unfortunate enough, I think, to give away the first penalty. I thought it was a wee bit harsh personally, but to say she was pleased to score the goal that brought us back into it was a bit of an understatement, is it not?
Exactly. And I mean, obviously Cathy supports Rangers and has done throughout her whole life, so obviously playing for the women's team is a massive thing for her. And then, as you said, you know, unfortunately she gives that penalty away. Yeah, I get that, it's harsh, but that's the rules, isn't it? Our hands are kind of out, and if it hits you, then, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be given, so you just need to go on with it, and it's about reacting the right way, which they did. And as you said, then she steps up. Yeah, it's a bit extra mash in the box, but you still need to get your toe on it, and that's the thing. You can't give it up, which she doesn't do, and puts it in the net, and you obviously seen how much it went to her. I mean, no chance that I would be doing a knee slide on that astroturf. You have no skin left in your knees, so she absolutely was enjoying it.
Do you know, when I saw her racing away, I thought she was going right into the stands, to be honest with you. It was like she'd forgot where she was. She was going right in there. It was great to see. And as I say, I felt the penalty was harsh. You're right, going by the rule book, etc., which I get. But I was really pleased to see that she brought us back into it. Other player I want to speak about who scored our second goal in the night, we spoke about her before on the podcast, is Kirsty McLean, who continues to go from strength to strength. Probably one of the first names on Joe Potter's team sheet now, I would say, on a weekly basis.
Definitely. I mean, I think she's come in slowly under Malky Thompson, and then she's now embedded herself in that squad. I think she's shown her class, you know. It's the thing is she just shows a lot of composure for a young age, which I think is quite impressive. But she really fits into the style of play. It suits her very well. And I think, I've probably said this to you before, I think something she was lacking was goals in her games. For me, she wasn't scoring enough, particularly with the amount of possession that Rangers have in games. You know, you have to be scoring more as a midfielder, but, you know, credit to her. She's stepping up now, and she's finding herself on the score sheet more often than not every other week. So I think, yeah, she's been excellent for Rangers and such a key part of their team.
Yeah, and it was a good goal, of course, and one that sort of put us ahead. We did, of course, concede a second penalty on the night when Madag was sort of fouled, allegedly.
Which, by the way, wasn't a penalty. I don't think that one was a penalty. I think she wins the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't think either on the night, and it's very difficult for us to speak about it and seem reasonably impartial because we do like hearing those three famous words, penalty Rangers. But I did think both were harsh, to be perfectly honest with you. However, as what it is, they brought it back to 2-2. And of course, as we said, Rio Hardy just shows incredible sort of mental strength at that point to step up, score and put the game well beyond reach. Right at the death, Claire, gives Joe Potter her third win over Celtic this season, unbeaten, which is fantastic for her first venture up here in Scottish football, and in particular that tie. She has a bit of a flag over Celtic right now, doesn't she?
Well, she probably does, and I think they'll probably be feeling that way. Obviously, the game's coming up in the middle of February, which will be quite daunting, you know, given the results they've got against them, particularly, you know, in that cup game. It's came down to the last couple of minutes, and then they found themselves out the cup when they're maybe thinking they can get it at least extra time and see what they can do. But, you know, I think the thing that's difficult for Celtic as well is that they've lost a manager halfway through the season. That's not easy for any team. And then the new manager's come in, and, you know, she's obviously trying to build her own way of playing, her own philosophy, which halfway through a season is so hard. I mean, you see Celtic playing Glasgow City there on Sunday. They set up in a completely different style. They're playing a 4-2-3-1, which notoriously they don't play. So they're trying to get used to that. So it'll be interesting, I think, to see what she does, you know, when they come up to play against Rangers in the middle of the month. Will she stick by the formation that they've played so long under Fran Alonso just to give her more time in bed in, or will she try and push on? It's a few weeks away, so it's whether she tries to kind of embed in how she wants to play around that. But it's a really difficult one because, again, you know, I didn't think they were great on Sunday against Glasgow City, and whether that's just down to the fact they're playing a new formation, and obviously spaces become in different areas when you play different formations, and it's just something they're not used to. So it'll be a big thinking point for the Celtic manager, I think, coming in to play against Joe Potter, given the amount of wins she's got over her now.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, we've just played Aberdeen up the road, a horrible, horrible Sunday afternoon up there at the Balmoral Stadium, 2-1 victors. Rachel Rowe at the double. Now, we've spoke about Rachel before. I'm a huge fan. I love what she does. I think she plays in a position that is extremely difficult for other teams to mark. I think she's smart enough that she can dart around the pitch and work her way around in any spaces and pockets where people can't get near to her. The influence of her in this Rangers team just now is quite obvious. Joe Potter referred to it post-match Aberdeen to say that, you know, I mean, teams are singling her out now for a bit of special treatment to make sure that she's not influencing games. I don't think they're doing a great job of it. I don't think there's a better player in the league just now.
No, I would 100% agree. I love to watch her, if I'm honest. She's the type of player I like, you know. She's got a bit of everything. And, you know, it's not even, as you say, that her ability to find space in tight areas with teams that are sitting back against Rangers, which most folk do. She's still picking up pockets. She's still making things happen. Even when Rangers played Celtic in the Cup just there, I felt as if she was the one, particularly in the first half, getting on the ball, if something was going to happen, you felt as if it was going to come through her. I just think she's been a, what an addition she's been. And as you said, not even on the pitch, just off the pitch, the experience she's got, she must be unreal to have around the dressing room. But, you know, she's got goals in her, she's got passing in her, she's got dribbling in her. Her touch is unbelievable. So I think, yeah, for me as well, I agree. I think she's the best player in the league just now and they want to be watching.
Do you know, facetiously enough, and this is maybe a different, sort of angle to that question, is there ever a risk that because she's playing in such that sort of specialised position, the 10, for anyone listening, I've done air commas there, do you almost become over-reliant on her in that position because she's so good at it? And is that a problem, do you think?
Well, I don't think they've actually had a chance to become so reliant on her because she's not been without her, well, injuries. I suppose you would assume it's injuries. She's not been available for large parts of the season as well. She's been in the team, out the team, for whatever those reasons have been. So I don't think they've got to the point where they're so reliant on her. But she seems to have had a wee period in the team, you know, in the last kind of few weeks or months. So it's whether they then get to that stage. And it can be dangerous if you're looking for a lot of your good things to come from one player, particularly if they then get injured or you remove them for some reason. But, you know, they're a quality squad. So I don't, even if you did take her out, I think you would miss a lot. But I still would have trust in the players coming in to take the position that they could do a job.
Yeah, it was interesting. I think Mia McCauley was given a sort of spell playing as that sort of 10 at the weekend. So I think Joe obviously believes that she can play there in the first instance. But it also takes a bit of pressure, if you like, off her. She doesn't strike me as being someone who's particularly bothered about pressure, to be perfectly honest with you. Extremely confident. I genuinely think she's the best player in the country just now. I think there's a very good chance that she'll get one of the POTY awards at the end of the season. She's really lit up the league. As far as I'm concerned, she's very much an entertainer. We're lucky to have her. So two really good goals at the weekend, particularly the first one. Clever finish, giving the Aberdeen goalkeeper no chance whatsoever. The second goal was a really good goal as well. Good team movement. She's just part of that sort of focal point. We know that in many games we're going to have so much of the ball, and a lot of it is going to go through that 10 Rachel Rowe type position. It's really important that she's clever with the ball, isn't it?
Well, it is. I think I watch Rangers a lot, and you know they do like to go wide and they like to get the ball into the box. But I think for Rachel Rowe playing in certainly the 10 position, I think it gives them more of an option to play in through the lines and try and create things from the centre of the pitch, you know, from a higher area, not so deep in the, either in their own half or just into their opponent's half. She's in and around the box. Where sometimes I think when she's not in the team, they maybe don't have that in the same way, you know, and they're more likely to go down the wide areas, which, you know, don't get me wrong here, they're clearly more than capable going down the wide areas. And, you know, how many goals they've scored from that area is unbelievable as well. But I definitely just think she's a different dynamic. She's by far, as I just said a minute ago, by far my favourite player to watch this season. And I absolutely hope they can keep her fit, because if you can get her, you know, a good run of games, a good run of fitness for the next few months, you know, I think she can even get a level. And that's frightening.
No, absolutely. Because you don't want to lose her in the first instance, obviously. But no, you're absolutely right. We're lucky to have her around. One person I do want to mention, Claire, this is someone I know you've played with. Chelsea Cornet made her 100th appearance at the weekend there. Consistently good, consistently works her behind off, to be perfectly honest with you. And again, a player that I think is going to be really heavily relied on between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've spoke numerous times about how much I like Chelsea also as a player. You know, a completely different type of player from Rachel Rowe. But again, somebody that I think is absolutely worth their weight in gold to just how Rangers play. You know, she's such a workhorse. She just, you know, she absolutely works her socks off. And she allows so many of the creative players in that team to go and do what they're good at. And if you don't have people like that, then, you know, that's not possible. And I do say this all the time as well. It's only when you remove players like Chelsea and folk that work that hard for you out of the team that you then think, geez, oh, I did not actually realise how much work they've done and how they allowed us to go and play the style in which we want. Because, yeah, Rangers throw loads of players forward, but you always need to have a base. You know, you need to have a structure behind the ball. Otherwise, you're so vulnerable. which, by the way, don't get me wrong, they don't always get it right, because we've seen it on Sunday with Bailey Hutchinson going through and scoring a goal. But no, she's absolutely amazing player again, and I'm so delighted that she's got her 100th cap. And you know, I can't believe that's 100 caps. That's blue by the way. I've just realised, you know, how long I've not been playing for.
So did you? So you would have played in midfield on occasion with Chelsea, of course, wouldn't you? Was she a? I mean, you obviously refer to, she's got that ability to maybe sit in while others attack. Technically, she's a really good footballer, though. I think it's she can do that attack inside the game as well as she can maybe sit in, if you like.
Oh, of course she can. You know, I'm not meaning to take anything away from her there. You know, she's more than capable of driving forward and, you know, having shots from distance. Normally when she scores, it's a screamer. You know, she doesn't tend to score many tap-ins or whatever, but she does have that side of her game as well, you know. But I would say, you know, her strength is her work rate, her ability to break down play, and her ability to just give the ball to folk and start play, you know, and support the play from behind. But it's not to say she can't get forward, actually. I think she should probably do more running in behind third man runs. I used to say that to her when I played for her all this time. Third man run.
Listen, when she listens into this, she'll absolutely love you with that going. You know, it's funny, we're obviously talking about, we're speaking about an area that's really important to the way that we play, that centre of the pitch. And of course, Joe Potter has went into the sort of transfer market in January and brought in Olivia McLaughlin on loan up until the end of the season. Do we have too many bodies in there? Do we have enough game time for everyone to be satisfied with the amount of time in the grass that they're getting effectively, do you think?
Probably not, but then that's the environment, isn't it? It's supposed to be competitive, and you're unfortunately going to have folk that are unhappy because they're not getting the game time they want, but you still have to have, you know, other folk there who either can come in through injury to another player or can come in because you just need something different in a game, you know, because sometimes you just need a different style of player depending on who your opponent is. So I'm not surprised she's brought somebody in for that area. As I said, it would probably spread game time out maybe a wee bit more, but probably not, I don't think, too much in effect. I think particularly in the more, like, the bigger games, as we'll call them, you know, you're not going to see too much change in that midfield, because if something's not broke, then don't fix it. Do you know what I mean? Just keep playing, because if you're performing, then, you know, you're not just going to put people in because they've not had a game in 3 weeks. And I mean that in the nicest way. You know, you're there to win, and you're getting paid to play. You're a professional. So it's whoever's playing the best should start on the pitch.
Yeah. And it comes back to something that Joe said, quite importantly, certainly since we came back after the break, is that the league is effectively be all and end all. I think she's very aware that she needs to win the league this year. My own personal thought is I think she'll win a lot. I think she's got a great chance of doing a lot, but the league is the jewel in the crown, and she has to get it this year. And I think that the squad are good enough. I think she's got enough experience in there. I think she's got enough reliability in there to get her through to the end of May. And hopefully get all the silverware. A couple of good bodies have went out, of course, towards the end of January. Clear, Laura Berry's went out for game time at Motherwell. Really good for her. Encouraged that. Great to see a youngster going out and trying to get as much game time as we can. Megan Bell has also went out to Hearts, of course. Beginning of the season wasn't great for her. She was riddled with injury. Didn't really get going at all, even when she returned. Game time for her, I think, is going to be important between now and the end of the season. And you know, arguably for whatever happens next for Megan Bell.
It will, and you know, I'm not surprised to see Megan going out on loan, because as you said, she unfortunately actually over the last couple of seasons has had problems with injuries. She just seems to get back to fitness and then something else happened to her. You know, it is a shame in that sense, but in order to get yourself back to where you were prior to having all these problems, you need to be playing. And for whatever reason, you know, again, it's a very competitive squad. So there's very few games where, you know, you're going to be able to play Megan just to get her up to match fitness, because you need the team to be firing straight away because of the importance, as you just mentioned a minute ago, of winning the league. So you can't afford to be taking your foot off the gas. So I think it's probably the right thing for Megan to do, is to go out on loan. And, you know, she's went to Hearts, a very capable team, another team that likes to try and play football. So I think that's important as well, that she's going to a team, yeah, different in terms of their philosophy and how they play, but they ultimately are two footballing teams. So you're going to a team that in that sense is similar to who you're playing, and it's not maybe about the long ball and playing off it and whatever. So it should get her a lot of the ball and hopefully bring her confidence back and bring herself up to, well, match fitness. And then at the end of the season, you just need to wait and see what happens with her.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting as well, is that she, of course, plays in the position that Rachel Robey has traditionally sort of held. So I don't think, based on the current form of Rachel, it would be really difficult for Megan to get in and around that role, I think, personally.
Well, I mean, Megan's pretty flexible across that. You know, she can play wide as well, which she had done for quite a long time, actually, under Milky Thompson. So she can play through the middle. So, you know, she has played various positions, but it's just trying to find what would suit her the best and the system that Rangers are playing. And, you know, for me, I don't know if it would really be the 10. For me, I think Megan's probably more effective out wide, where she can use her pace.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, yeah, if you're looking to play on the 10, would you play in front of Rachel Rowe in that position? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hearts play a big part of our February, as we look ahead into February, of course, is a big month. Dundee United in the Cup coming on the 4th at Broadwood. Hearts at home on the Broadwood on the 7th, I think it is, if memory serves me right.
Yep.
There's a game, I think, that needs to be squeezed in at some point with Partick Thistle. I think we're waiting on that date to be confirmed by the club. But, of course, we can't look too further than middle of the month. The women's Old Firm game at Ibrox, really exciting affair. Kudos to the club for putting the women's Old Firm game on there. I know you've been there, you've done it before. The opportunity to play at Ibrox is huge for these girls, isn't it?
It is, and it's great, as you say, to see the club putting particularly the game against Celtic in there. And my hope is that folk go along to it and actually, you know, see it for what it is. I've said this a million times as well. I think it's amazing that the games are on the TV, and long may that continue. But it's different when you're at the game. You know, you see the whole pitch. You can't see that when you're watching it on a TV screen. And it obviously means a lot to the girls on the pitch if they can hear the support behind them. But it'll be interesting. You know, sometimes in a way, although, you know, all the players will absolutely want to play at Ibrox, but sometimes it can bring an additional pressure, particularly when they're then playing Celtic. So don't get me wrong, I probably make them slight favourites going into the game, given the fact that the last three that we've been successful. Yeah. But an Old Firm, you just never know. And in my view, it's just who turns up in the day and who's up for it the most. And I honestly believe that, and I have done over the years, because it is, if you bottle it effectively when you cross the line, then you're never winning the game.
Yeah, I think as well, you probably rely on Lady Luck a little bit. In these games, there's always something that maybe just goes in your favour, a bounce of a ball, or there's always just something that you need to go in your favour in that day. I go back to what I say, I think as Jo's got three wins against them this season, I think she can go into it with a relatively decent degree of confidence on her own patch that we can do something. But it should be a really exciting afternoon at Ibrox. I would encourage anyone listening to make sure they get themselves along to that. And don't forget, there are matches at Broadwood way before then that I would also encourage you all to try and get into. The Hearts game in particular should be a cracker. Claire, I've asked you this before. I'm going to ask you again. You know what I'm going to ask you? We're 6 points clear. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you think we've got a good chance of winning the league this year. I don't know if you want to do that.
I think Rangers have a very good chance of winning the league this year. I don't think it's set in stone by any matter. I mean, as I'd said, you know, you've got two very difficult games coming up in Hearts and Celtic. If you lose the aim, you're back to equal points again. So it's not that I think it's finished. It's just what I've seen of Rangers this year in terms of how they're playing, how fit they look, how well they move the ball, their mentality. I think everything's there. It's just, can they apply it? And I think if they do, I think, they're favourites to win the league, in my opinion.
Do you think they can do the lot?
Again, I think they can. I mean, I think the thing is they're obviously the only one of the top three that can actually win everything, which again becomes to and that additional pressure on them. Do you know what I mean? But they will only be looking at one thing at a time. But they're obviously, they've got one hand in the trophy in terms of the cup when they're playing Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
They're 6 points ahead in the league. And then, you know, well, the Scottish Cup, it's still early days, but it, ultimately, you know, that they're doing very well in the other two competitions. So do I think they could win all three? Yeah, I do. I do think they could win all three, but it's whether the wheels fall off the wagon, you know, as it comes to the crunch, which you've seen happen on so many occasions. It's just about trying to hold your composure. Hold it in your mind.
Just as an aside, in the last one, because this is an interesting question, we've not spoken about this before we come off, so you're not going to like this question. As an ex-captain in the football club, mm-hmm. do you find yourself ever almost comparing the team that you played in to the current team and just trying to work out, I don't want to say who was better because you were successful. This team, I think, are on the verge of being very successful. Do you ever find yourself doing that sort of comparison over the period of time? You've obviously got some players now that played in the same team as you and how they've developed over the period of time. Do you do that comparison exercise?
Yeah, and the team now is better. I don't think there's any question about that. The team now is better. They've had numerous years together as a foundation. As you said, there's players there that played when I was there.
Yeah.
So they've, that, you know, it's a spine through that team that they've only went and branched off of and strengthened, I think, in my opinion. Then they've got a manager who I think has been excellent for the team,
yeah.
And the club in general. I just like her drive. I like how focused she is. You know, she knows exactly what she wants, and her expectations to me are clear to the players about what she wants from them. And if you're not doing it, you're not playing. That's the impression I get, yeah. You know. And I like that. That's how I was as a player. I just, you know, A is A and B is B. So, yeah, I think this team right now is better, hands down. I don't think there's any question about that.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, I would tend to agree. I do think that we're seeing a lot of loads of positivity about the players, the current setup and everything that's going on. Lots to be excited about. And there's no doubt that February is going to be a big month, and March, April and May, as they follow soon after, will be equally as exciting. Claire, always good to have you on. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, Scott. It was good to chat about it.
Yes, indeed. If you are listening on our audio-only channels, of course you are, please don't forget to follow, give us a listen and a like, do all the things you can to help grow the channel. If you are following this Cyberox across social media, please continue to do that. Tell your pals. We're available across our YouTube channel and all the obvious places, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. That's all for now. We are back at the end of February. Claire and I will do it all again. Thanks for watching. Good luck to Rangers. Bye for now.
Podcast Network.